whatever we're doing is, that's what it's really for, is to give us strength. We have to get a taste of the holy name, so that requires chanting. And sometimes we have to hear about Krishna, some philosophy. And we need to do some practical service. But all that service is part of the whole effort to spread the holy name. Whatever anybody's doing, Prabhupada used to give the motto of the Indian Railroad. Of course, you don't have railroad here very much. But India has so many railroads. So everybody, the sweeper in the station, the clerk, the ticket taker, the driver, the guy who lays the track, everybody is working to keep the trains moving. Yeah, everyone's necessary. If you don't have mechanics, then nobody can do anything. Then if somebody sold all the tickets, but the train won't move, or the bridge is broke or something. So, same thing. We need cooks, we need cleaners, we need collectors, we need singers, we need dancers, we need harp makers. And everybody is working for that same purpose, to glorify the holy name of the Lord. That is our purpose of our society. And by the more we try to glorify the holy name, and the more we get the holy name, Krishna reveals himself, but also the more we try to appreciate the holy name, and the more we try to pray in a humble state of mind, that we can be humble servants of the holy name, then we'll become more and more empowered to distribute the holy name. Because we can understand that nothing else is really going to help the world. No new political party getting elected, or no new president. Or, you know, everywhere they get excited when they get a new president for a few days, maybe. I think in Nigeria, it wasn't even that long for Obasanjo. You know, he got elected and they were rejoicing like anything, and the next day all the headlines said he's a bum. And he had to fight back the rest of the time. And because everyone is getting what they deserve. Arjuna Prabhu said that last year in a meeting we had. It's karma. Prabhupada said that. You elect someone, then you can't complain about him after you elected him. So, but in spiritual life, we want to follow Krishna. And the more we connect and the more we follow Krishna through the disciplic succession, which means regulated principles, of course, and chanting the holy name and sharing that with everyone we meet, serving the devotees, helping every other devotee, because everyone's service is important. Children are important. Taking prasadam as service, serving the prasadam as service, it's all important. So we thank everybody. Yesterday was a lot of people heard the holy name. By someone's grace, we have very good amplifiers and speakers, which is not on every Rathyatra, but this one, front and back, very, very nice, very clear. I walked way ahead where I could hardly see the cart, but I could hear the third time really good through those horns. And in the back, it was very clear, and in the front, we had very nice chanting. In the back, the youth, many, many very extra chanting, especially extra dancing, attracts everyone. And the cooks, we distributed 2 bags of rice, mostly done by a few devotees working very hard into the late night. And lots of beans and lots of sabjis and lots of everything, much to the joy of everyone, because it was open and very crowded place. That's Lord Jagannath's mercy. Jagannath comes out from the temple and gives his benediction, his glance to everyone. And Jagannath is especially merciful for prasadam distribution. Jagannath Puri, everyone in Puri gets prasadam. They cook every day minimum 20,000 people. At the big festival, they'll cook for 100,000. the whole state of Orissa, every village has certain land that's just for Lord Jagannath. And all the produce of that land goes to the temple. And so they cook very opulently. And Jagannath was especially merciful. One time, Narada Muni, at that time it was not easy to get Mahaprasad of Vishnu. Narada Muni went and performed great Tapasyan service to Lakshmi. And finally he got some Mahaprasad. So he relished it. And he was in ecstasy, dancing and chanting. And Lord Shiva saw him and was thinking, why is it that you're so blissful? He said, I got Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad. Ah! And Lord Shiva said, give me some. And Narada said, there's none left. I ate everything. So Lord Shiva was in anxiety. But he thought there must be. And finally they found he washed his hand, but a little bit was under his fingernail. So Lord Shiva took that. And he was dancing in ecstasy. And it was almost like the end of the universe. And Parvati couldn't understand what is he in so much ecstasy for. So she said, what is it? What is it? He said, Mahaprasad, Mahaprasad, I got Mahaprasad. She said, give me some. He said, there's none left, there isn't any. And she was very distressed. So she started doing tapasya. Very tapasya for a long time. And it was disturbing the entire universe, so they sent Lord Brahma to see what is it. Or even maybe Vishnu came. He said, I want that everyone in the universe will get Mahaprasad. He said, that can't be. She said, but that's what I want. He said, no, that's not possible. Then he said, but we'll make one place where everyone gets Mahaprasad. Neelachala, Jagannath Puri. That place, everyone gets Mahaprasad. And inside the temple of Jagannath, where they offer everything to Jagannath, after they offer everything to Jagannath, they take it all into another temple of Bimala. Bimala is another name of Durga, Parvati. And they offer all the prasadam to Parvati, Bimala Devi. Then they distribute. No one else touches it until first it's offered to her because she wanted that prasad. So that's why it is. It's called Bimala Prasad. Bimala Prasad was the name of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati who was given it first, Bimala Prasad. So we want to every day distribute the holy name and distribute prasad. I used to hear in Nigeria that people were afraid to take prasad, but they certainly aren't afraid in Ghana. Nobody. We couldn't keep up with how much they wanted it. And even if they don't know it's prasad, but it is prasad, if we can have a kirtan playing like Raha does in Togo, he has the kirtan playing on the top of his van. And he goes to the, right near the big mosque. And there's a lot of beggars there. So it's very interesting that many people are saying their prayers and many people are lined up to get prasad and the kirtan is blasting away and everybody likes it. They jump up, you know, when they see the van coming and they become so excited that whatever they are, beggars or sadhu monks or I don't know what they are, but they're all, so many of them. So that kirtan makes it really powerful. Makes people, anyway, Krishna likes that. Chaturvedashi, Bhagavat Prasado, Sarana Kriptim, Hari Bhakti Sandra, Kripvaita Kriptim, Bhajita Sadaiva, Bandhigaru Sushan. The spiritual master is happy to see devotees or anybody getting prasada. And if we're distributing prasada, we're more happy. Better. And if one person dedicates himself in every temple in Durban, South Africa, they do something, it's 20,000 a day. And basically one devotee doing everything. They have a huge kitchen, of course, with huge pots. And somehow he goes shopping, he engages a few students or something to help them get everything ready and get it cooked and loaded in the van, and he's got a kirtan playing and they come running with their pots. And sometimes the government asks them to cook for big events they have. And of course the life members, and they love to donate for that. So it's an ever-increasing, wonderful thing, and it can go on anywhere. Like anything, this requires somebody to take it up and dedicate and do it. And we can't start big, we have to start small and then grow. Right? Lord Brahma could produce full-grown children instantly, right? Just think about it, and there it is. But I don't know, anyone can do that?
No.
No? Any of your householders? We have to go through so much endeavor to even get pregnant, and then have to wait so long while this little tiny thing develops, and finally turns into a little baby that comes out, and then you have to take care of the baby so much, with inoculations and food and shelter and education, till finally you get an adult. Right? Just the way it is. You have to be patient. So any project we want to do, we start with whatever we have. We start to do a little bit. When we're preaching, we tell people just chant 5 minutes a day. We don't have to say you have to chant 16 rounds, otherwise you can't do it. Right? Sometimes devotees preach like that to a new person. You have to follow the regular principle, chant 16 rounds, and they never come back. But if you say, you can just chant a few minutes every day, you know, when you eat fruit offered to Krishna, whatever, then they'll gradually get purified. So that's what we're after. We have many devotees here who become purified, become initiated. I don't want to, it's so late, we don't want to talk too much. This is our mission, to bring people, just like families want to have children. We want new devotees, we want to raise them nicely, we want to educate them, and we want to help them to find some service and work in Krishna service, where they're happy, that they can go out and they can attract more people to come. This is natural. And just on this principle of starting small. When I first came out here, there was practically nobody along the road. And then gradually I would see, you know, some girl out there with a little table and some peanuts or something, a few soft drinks and, you know, matches. And then the next time they've got more things, and now they've got beauty shops, the same people, big houses, you know. But they just started out, they had a farm, they bring their corn out, and they grow. And we've grown also, but we should think like that. Just do some little thing, and it'll grow. Some of the money that comes just out of every day seems to be doing all right. Start growing more vegetables here, and gradually we don't have to go to the market, we don't have to, you know, get money to buy food. We can grow everything we need and more. A few devotees will go help in Swetu. We can feed the whole planet practically from the land that Nana has there, which Prana has. Such great land. And there's practically in the world no farmland like that. It's so fertile, and all year round we can use it. There's good farmland in Europe and stuff, but it also is half the area you can't use it. Snow and ice. Yeah. Cost a fortune. Here we have it. So everybody just take up whatever they can do there. And let everything grow. Let us have thousands of devotees, hundreds of temples, and thousands of leaders, preachers, because we can't expand without many, many, many preachers, many, many centers. If everyone in their house, you know, makes a program, once a week they have a few people over, even one or two. And gradually more people will come. I see someone starting a church back here. It's just one, you know, 5 meters long thing with a tin roof. It's an SBA church. Last time I came, it wasn't even that much, but it was already functioning. And I'll guarantee in a year or two, it's going to be a big, popular church. It's the first one back there. And so many people are building their houses. But we want to catch them also. The people know us. The people chant Hare Krishna. And sometimes they don't know that it's open, and they can come in. We're giving food. Ready to engage everyone. We have this nice singing all the time. More and more people will come, and Krishna will be very happy. So today we have two initiation. Everyone, I hope, knows what initiation is. But initiation means commitment. It doesn't mean you move in the temple and have to be a brahmachari and do whatever the temple president tells you or something, and be a slave. It means you have decided to dedicate your life to cultivating Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name, following the four regulative principles, and rendering service according to our capacity and cooperation and guidance with, you know, other devotees. And it's this formal connection then, because we promise to do this the rest of our life. So Krishna likes that commitment, he likes that humility and surrender, and we get that special connection which makes us progress more. If someone's not initiated, they're welcome to chant, follow the principles. They'll also make advancements, but hopefully they're making advancements towards committing themselves and getting initiated. Whatever anybody does to serve Krishna, Krishna accepts it. Famous story is Prabhupada, in the very early days, the temple on 26th 7th Avenue, that area was mostly very poor people, a lot of homeless people. And during the class one time, one homeless crazy guy came in. And he had a big stack of paper towels or toilet paper or something. And he came in and the devotees got all like, what's going on? And they were going to stop him, and Prabhupada said no. He went in the bathroom and he very carefully put the paper towels and the toilet paper and he left. The Prabhupada said he's beginning his service. You know, he somehow spontaneously offered whatever he could to Krishna. That's just as valuable if a millionaire came in and gave $100,000, even more. Because when the millionaire gives $100,000, it's not much. For him, it's nothing. When Bill Gates gives $50 billion, it doesn't affect his personal life. It may open up his heart and make him better off. And he's become much happier. We're telling giving, giving. We want to give Krishna. That's the highest charity. Everyone heard? Any heard of John D. Rockefeller? Heard of him? He was at one time the richest man in the world. He was also the most unpopular man in the world, because he had done anything that he could do to get rich. Cheating, stealing, not exactly stealing, but making monopolies, buying up, forcing people out of business, buying their businesses. And everyone hated him. All the magazines were against him. They were burning his statue in the oil fields. And he was so mad after money. The story was, he had a big ship that was going across the big lake in America, Lake Superior or something. So he heard that there was going to be a storm. So he put insurance on that ship. $100. Of course, $100 then was much more, but for him, he was a multimillionaire. And then there was no storm. So he was so distressed that he'd spent $100 unnecessarily. He was going crazy. Everything like that. And he got very, very ill. Very sick. And the doctor told him finally, you have to give this business up. You have to stop all of it. You can't be in so much anxiety or you're going to die. You can make your choice. either give it all up or die. So somehow or other, he didn't want to die. You know, like nobody wants to die. You know? So he transferred all the businesses to his sons. Of course, he still had millions of dollars. And he made the Rockefeller Foundation, which until Bill Gates was the biggest charitable foundation in. And he started giving away money to schools, and he found the vaccinations for many different diseases. He funded the research. He built up hospitals. He did so many charitable things. And he became very healthy. And he was in ecstasy giving away money. And he lived to be 95 years old. At 50, they told him he was going to die. He was so sick. And then he became well-loved, and everybody remembered how he was so charitable. Nobody cares that how he got rich now, as long as he gave it away. So the point is that we should be charitable. We have Krishna, the most valuable thing. We have the holy name. We have Bhagavad Gita. We have prasadam. We should be thinking how to give this to as many people as possible. And we won't be the loser. If you give the holy name, you'll get more. If you give prasadam, you'll get more. It's not like if you distribute prasadam, then the Krishna won't give you any. You'll end up with more. You don't have to worry. I guarantee. If you distribute the books, you'll get more books. If you preach, everything will come. And Krishna will give you all facility to preach. If you don't preach and you say, I can't preach because I don't have facility, you'll never get facility. If you do it, whatever we have, we use it for Krishna, you'll constantly get more and more. None of us have very much, but Krishna's given all of us some little bit of intelligence or attractiveness or ability to sing and dance or artistic ability or something we can share. Our intelligence, our little philosophy, our business, and just offer things to Krishna. He'll accept anything we give him except for meat, fish, and eggs, and onions, and garlic. Even if a person doesn't know anything and they offer unofferable things, Krishna might accept it. But we know, so we have to be careful. Alright, so when we get first initiation, we go over the 10 offenses. I hope everybody knows them. It's not like it's a quiz, you're supposed to know them, but we're supposed to. Just like you know when you drive, you know which side of the road to drive on and how fast you're supposed to go and when you're supposed to stop, where you're supposed to turn. It's not like you just pass the test and then you do whatever you want out on the road, right? You have a written test here for your driver's license. So that's only the beginning, and you have to be able to do it also. Not that if the policeman stops you and says, you know, the speed limit's 50, and you say, I know, but I wanted to go 100. I know about it, so that doesn't impress the policeman. So Krishna's not impressed that we know something unless we practice it. So the first offense, or the first defense, is to glorify the devotees of the Lord, serve the devotees of the Lord, and automatically we won't offend them. To keep in mind that Krishna's name, with our background, this offense about thinking the demigods equal, it's not so relevant because we never heard of the demigods until we heard of Krishna first. And we know. But in the Indian society, you know, they've been taught their whole life, the Hindu, that the demigods, everything's all one. So they have to learn that. Don't disobey the order. Obey the order of the spiritual master. Consider him the representative of Krishna. You'll be saved. Krishna will be pleased. Even if you can't understand it, do it anyway. Glorify the Vedic literature. The best way is to distribute Prabhupada's book. Then we won't, criticize. Take it that the holy name is Krishna. We don't interpret the holy name. We don't think it's exaggerated that we talk about how wonderful the holy name is. It's much better than we can ever think. But to speak of what we can speak with our limited ability to glorify the holy name, we can't even begin to touch it. And avoid singing on the strength of chanting. That means, like in the Roman Catholic Church, they have confession. So confession is very good. It's good for the soul. It's purifying. But if people take it wrong, okay, I confessed and I did my penance and now I can sin again. Because by confessing it's okay. Then that's very, very bad. If I think, well, chanting the holy name, you know, that eliminates all sinful reactions. So I'll just get drunk and I'll go out and rob the bank and I'll rape a few girls and then I'll chant tomorrow and it'll be all right, right? Or I chanted this morning so I can do whatever I want the rest of the day. That is a very serious attitude, and it's called sahajya. Many people have that kind of attitude in all religions. They want to take advantage of the mercy of the Lord. So chant the holy name and do good. It's not an ordinary ritualistic activity. It's transcendental, purely for the pleasure of the Lord. Preach to the faithful. Don't preach to the unfaithful, people that are against it. Look for people that want to hear about Krishna, there's plenty of them, and preach. I saw Shukla Prabhu yesterday preaching so enthusiastically, I was surprised. Because I remember years ago seeing him glorifying the incense. And he was preaching about the book, and the boy said, ask him something about incense. He says, oh, you don't need incense, that won't help you. But the knowledge in this book will give you knowledge to understand life and really live right and really make progress. The guy was like, he was bewildered, but that's what we want to do. When we preach like that, Krishna will send us people that are very sincere and want to make spiritual advances. Many, many people in the world that really want to know. They are not happy with the way things are. Cheating religion, you know, cheating everything. They want the truth. Bhagavad Gita has it. And have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name. Give up all material attachments. Develop spiritual attachments. Become attached to Krishna. Become attached to the devotees. Become attached to the deities, to serving the deities, taking prasadam, whatever service you like to do. Get really into it. Do it with concentration that this is Krishna. And be attentive in chanting. Inattentive chanting will produce all offenses. And attentive chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That will create proper everything else. Because that's intimate association with Krishna, then we'll become like Krishna. Just have to be open. Chanting with, you know, attention. This is Krishna. Hare Krishna. Let me serve you. So that's very simple, but sometimes not so easy. But it's not complicated. It's difficult because we are attached to so many things. So many misconceptions of life. So many subtle and gross attachments. By becoming attached to Krishna, the name of Krishna, the activities of Krishna, the form of Krishna, then these other things will become very insignificant. So, we have two boys today for first initiation. One is not here, he's from Fort Harcourt. Lucky Monday. Lucky Sunday. And we have Nana from somewhere, I forgot. Karate maybe. So Nana can come forward. I hope he's here. Huh? He's here? I know he's pretty good. For lucky Monday, but how about him? I know Monday's not here.